This is Total Gym Reset, the podcast. I'm Kim Ransom, a three-time gym owner and business professional in the gymnastics and Olympic weightlifting industries. I have a heart for the small guys, and the material I teach all supports the work we do in Total Gym Reset, a six-month gym owner learning experience. This podcast exists to talk about important topics relevant to gym owners, shed light on topics that will make you feel seen, and give you some much-needed mojo to go live out your version of success on your own gym owner journey. So I hope you'll join me for these quick 10-minute or less episodes where I share lessons learned, ask the tough questions, and provide a little inspiration for your work in the gym. Hey there, gym friends. It's Kim. I'm back to bring you another super short episode on shifting from survival to thrival. Is that a word? Thrival? Surviving to thriving. Is that better? There you go. So we are in 2021. We are in full recovery mode, trying to figure out what this new world is like after we hope the worst of COVID has passed. Knock on wood, right? So we're sort of, as gym owners now, figuring out how to transition and how to shift from just the nutty, crazy, unpredictable, stress-filled mess of the past year and a half. As a gym owner, you know, we go to work one day and not knowing that we're going to have to shut our doors that Friday, March 13th, or whatever the day was for you. You know, a whole lot of change happened overnight that we just weren't prepared for. And as I told the TGR group today, you know, we didn't know that the world was going to shift in such a catastrophic way. And I guess when I talk about that, what I'm really referring to is the whole labor market shift that we're seeing now as gym owners. We just can't hire the same way. There seems to be less staff and candidates to go around. Whether that is the truth or not, don't really know, but all of these new factors and variables have sort of been thrown into the mix, and as gym owners, we're just trying to figure out how to field those and how to adapt and work with all of these new balls in our court, essentially. So one thing that really has not changed, though, is that as the CEO of your business, of your gym, which is essentially what you are as the owner or the manager, director, you know, you really have the same job as you did pre-COVID. Your job might look a little different, but at the end of the day, as the leader, you still have the same two basic job functions to manage. Now, seasons of business and seasons of stress and crisis kind of dictate how we're going to juggle those two tasks, but at the end of the day, it's still just focusing on income and focusing on people. That pretty much covers the gamut. There's a lot of nitty-gritty details underneath those two things, but at the heart of it, when you're the leader and you're the gym owner, you're really focusing on your revenue stream and your cash flow, what's happening at the top level, and then what's happening with your people situation. And so people is staff, right? People is customers. There's a lot that falls underneath those two umbrellas, but that's the core of it. So when we're thinking about the stress and the panic and all of the things that have happened over the past year and the added anxiety, we really are thinking about how to shift as a leader from survival to, okay, productive mode, time to get back on top of things, and time to figure out how to recover, how to move forward from this, and what's that going to look like for you? How are things going to be different? So when we talk about focusing on income, we talk about focusing on people, we really need to put the people piece of it first. In general, it's a pretty good way to think about managing your gym overall. We always want to value people over money. We got into this business because we have a passion and we have a heart for the kids or athletes or sport or, you know, the actual impact that you can have on the world through your talents and what it is that you can do. It'd be awesome if we could make a living doing that. It'd be more awesome if we could make a living helping others make a living through that sport, right? So focusing on people requires that you do a little bit of mental gymnastics and figure out what is different for you and how you can adapt. What does your labor market look like now? It's probably not the same as it was before. I've heard a lot of sort of lamenting and complaining about, you know, well, the aid that they, former coaches or administrative staff, received means that they just want to sit around on their tushes and do nothing. I think that's a pretty darn negative way to look at the world, if we're really honest. I'm going to assume that most people I'm involved with, and work on projects with, that I employed in the past, I'm going to assume that they also have great intentions and that they want the best for them and their families and for those that they work with as well. And I also want the best for them. And so if I was providing a living for a person that was less than what the government was giving, maybe I need to shift some things around. Now, I am not trying to oversimplify the matter. This is not a political matter. This has nothing to do with, taking sides. This has everything to do with you taking accountability and ownership and really looking at your resources and how much you can provide somebody that works for you. Sometimes we haven't always made the best decisions for hiring in the past, and it's possible that maybe we just had some people on staff that really weren't motivated and they weren't culturally aligned with our gym. And maybe at the core of it, they just don't line up with our gym, period. It doesn't matter what kind of money you pay them. Maybe we had some of those people, and maybe we've seen a tipping point where, yeah, they had to choose money or impact or motivation or continuing with you at your gym. And your gym was so invaluable that the money was the bright, shiny object and the money was the tipping point, right? So that can feel really hurtful if you felt like you were involved in positive relationships with these people or you mentored them and you probably really gave them your all. But at the end of the day, people want to do what's good. And if they have to make a decision between what's good for their family or beneficial for them or their big picture, whatever it is, so many things involved here that we don't know, we can't judge them for it, right? We have to take a look at ourselves and our gym, our business structure, the operations, the opportunities that we have or haven't provided, and make sure that it's aligning with what they need in their life and what they're telling you is valuable to them, right? It can be uncomfortable. It can be sticky. But if we don't have our stuff together enough to have the resources available to provide a good living for them or provide a good schedule or opportunity or the perks that they need to make this worth it in their life, it's going to be tough for us to build a staff, right? And sometimes it's not about the dollar amount that you're paying a coach. Sometimes it's about the intangibles. Sometimes it's more about you being able to purchase their time. Can you make it worthy? Are you worthy of them not getting another job? Does that make sense? Because really at the heart of it, what we're doing is buying somebody. We're buying somebody's time. Can you pay somebody enough? Can you give them enough perks? Can you give them as many opportunities as possible, either for now or in the future, that they can afford to spend their time with you? Or are you kind of creating a little bit of an opportunity cost scenario for that person? Are you going to actually hold them back? Is there something else that they could be doing where their time would be better spent than with you at your gym? These are all very real things that a coach or a staff member, this is a very real thought process, right? For somebody that doesn't own a business. They're not sitting in your chair. They're not going to have the same concerns as you. So, I repeat again, as the leader, as the CEO of your gym, two things that you need to focus on right now: to shift from surviving to thriving, rebuilding again, focusing on that income, but moreover, focusing on the people piece. This is not a crisis that's going to be solved in a short amount of time. This is going to require you to rebuild your business from the ground up. This is going to require you to take a little bit of responsibility to go through some growth pieces for you personally. You might have to uncover some uncomfortable truths. You might have to talk to some past employees and talk to them in a way where they feel that they can be really honest with you. And that's valuable. That's gold. If you have those people in your circle, hold on to them. So I hope that as a leader, you can figure out a way to really shed some layers here and get comfortable with diving in to figure out where your weaknesses are and where your holes are, because that in turn will help you develop the people piece of this whole equation that feels so impossible right now. It is not, I promise. By developing your gym from the ground up, developing your resources, saving money, shifting things around so you have more money to spend on investing in people, that's what's going to get you back on the road to success in your gym. So I wish you nothing but success, fine friends, and until next time, ta-ta.